Good morning, everyone. This is Father Dave Caron, a Dominican chaplain of the Order of Malta, calling in from New Orleans to speak about the topic of the Lord Hears the Cry of the Poor, which is our topic for today, July 5th. So let's remember we're in the presence of God, and let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thought I would share with you as our prayer these words that actually come from Psalm 34, which is the psalm for Mass today. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from his distress God saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Fear the Lord, you and his holy ones, for naught is lacking to those who fear him. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and takes delight in prosperous days? The Lord hears the cry of the poor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, these words from Psalm 34, which I just shared with you, are often sung as the responsorial psalm in the church several times throughout the year, but especially during the season of Lent. But how important it is for us as Catholic Christians, and especially as members of the Order of Malta, to realize that the impact of these words from sacred scripture are not just for Lent, but they're for every day. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. After all, we as members of the Order of Malta acknowledge that the spirituality of our order has its roots in the ideals and actions of our founder, Blessed Gerard. We have a distinctive motto, in a sense a dual mission, defense of the faith and service of the poor and the sick. Today we know that it takes courage to do both, living and defending our faith, by living our Christian values that many no longer see as important. Equally important, our care for our Lords, the sick and the poor, remind us that in the important work of serving the sick and the poor, we are in fact serving Christ himself. To care for the poor and the sick, the fathers of the Second Vatican Council actually referred to this as having a preferential option for the poor and the vulnerable. This is actually part of the Church's Catholic social teaching. This treasury of teaching reminds us that while the common good embraces all, those who are weak, vulnerable, and most in need deserve preferential concern. A basic moral test for our society is how we treat the most vulnerable in our midst. In a society marred by deepening disparities between the rich and the poor, the sacred scripture gives us the story of the last judgment in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, and reminds us that we will all be judged at the second coming of Christ by our response and actions towards the least of our brothers and sisters. We know this passage. We hear it every year on the feast of Christ the King. It's that passage about the goats being sent off to eternal flames for their lack of action, while the sheep are given entrance to the kingdom. We know the story about the two groups coming before the king, and the Lord says, well, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison or sick, you came to visit me. And they said in reply, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or alone or in prison and not attend to you and your needs? And the king said, when you didn't do this to the least of those, you didn't do it to me. Friends, this passage is the basis for the corporal works of mercy, the works that we as members of the Order of Malta do when we are about our pro-life ministries, when we are feeding the people in soup kitchens, and when we do prison ministry, when we collect clothing or visit people in hospitals or nursing homes or assisted living, taking our malads on pilgrimage to Lourdes, and when we bring the Blessed Sacrament to shut-ins, we are in fact working out of the Church's preferential option for the poor and doing the corporal works of mercy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 2248 explains the important reality of the preferential option for the poor this way, and I quote, "Those who are oppressed by poverty are the object of a preferential love on the part of the Church, which, since her origin and in spite of the failings of many of her members, has not ceased to work for their relief, defense, and liberation through numerous works of charity, which remain indispensable always and everywhere." End of quote from the Catechism. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI taught something similar in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est in number 22 when he said, and I quote, "that love for widows and orphans, prisoners, and the sick and needy of every kind is as essential to the Church as the ministry of the sacraments and preaching the gospel." End of quote. Wow. Care of the poor is essential. Pope Benedict is reminding us that hearing the cry of the poor and responding to their needs is holy work. It's holy. This preferential option for the poor and the vulnerable includes all who are marginalized in our nation and beyond our borders. It includes unborn children, persons with disabilities, the elderly and terminally ill, and victims of injustice and oppression. The list goes on and on. In fact, some in our culture want to define the poor solely as those lacking sufficient money to live at a standard considered comfortable or normal in our society. In other words, the economically poor. But we in our Church tradition, and in the Scriptures, the magisterial teachings of the Church, and our own experience in the Order of Malta are saying, today, don't define the poor narrowly. Instead, define the poor more broadly. In fact, if one was to do a special study of the Scriptures, one would come away from that study realizing that all members of society, and society as a whole, need to have a special obligation to the poor and to vulnerable persons. Why? Because the Scriptures show us that God's covenant includes a special concern for the poor. A couple of passages worth noting, you might want to read them later, Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29, Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 13, Luke 4, 16 through 21, Luke 14, 12 through 14. Just a couple of passages you might want to bring to prayer. But we might need to ask ourselves, well, what about us? How can we be more attuned to the cries of the poor and not just sing about it as a responsorial psalm in church? It all starts with a desire and a few choices. If we recognize a desire to be more attentive to the poor and to grow in affection for and solidarity with them, then it is likely that this will give us a grace, the grace we need to move forward. Pray to be open to this grace. But it's important to name the desire and to welcome it. Perhaps God has been offering us this grace for some time and preparing us to receive it, not only in the season of Lent, but in the entire year. If we don't feel the desire, perhaps we can ask for that desire in prayer. We can ask our Lord to help us grow in a desire to hear better the cries of those most in need. In doing this, we grow in our participation in the mission, in the spirituality of the Order of Malta. And more profoundly, we grow in our own baptismal calling, and subsequently our response. In our bringing this conversation to prayer today, whether kneeling in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, after receiving Holy Communion at Mass, in fingering the beads as we pray the Rosary, or in reading the passages of Scripture, we might want to ask some important questions. Who are the poor? Who are those most in need? Who are the voiceless? Who are those most pushed to the margins of neglect and powerlessness? Pope Francis, in his exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, and in other writings, refers to the poor as those on the peripheries. It doesn't take a great social analysis to come up with some immediate answers to the aforementioned questions. We just need to be attentive to the news, local, national, and global. We can ask in our own local context, who appears to be suffering? Who seems to be tremendously burdened? Not all the poor are in the news, but a sensitive scan of the news might be a place we can start. To look just around us, we can see the poor. In light of what we discover in answering these questions, our conscience may be bothered. And that's always a good thing when our consciences are bothered. How can we ignore the fact that those most in need of our solidarity are those who suffer painful hardships? Their misery seems almost inescapable. Many are trapped in poverty. So limited are some people's opportunities, their poverty has become structurally entrenched. Perhaps the most pressing and painful examples are forced migrants, refugees, the undocumented, inner city populations, we could name minorities, the elderly, the homeless, those caught up in addictions, or those who are trafficked, the persistently poor. And then there's indigenous peoples at home and abroad, and then the global destitute. Doesn't take much to realize that more than 800 million people go to bed hungry every night. And for this, we as followers of Christ acknowledge with the psalmist, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Perhaps as you are listening to me, you might be asking yourself, what do I do when I begin to hear the cry of the poor? Some people tend not to think of the poor very much because to do so can render one feeling sad or feeling unable to help, perhaps even paralyzed. But if we use a time like this Malta reflection that we shared today to try to further reflect upon the situation of the poor near us and around the world, then the poor will help us to come to know God's special love for them and God's care for us. God's care for us who respond to them. There's a dual reality here. When we help the poor, God helps us. So when we help them, we actually help our own souls too. This conversation then is not meant to be heavy on a Wednesday after July 4th, the holiday, but gosh, our country needs help. Actually, what I'm sharing with you today, and we know this, is actually good news. Really, this conversation about the Lord hears the cry of the poor is news of hope. So as I bring this Malta spiritual outreach call to a close, I would remind all of us that prayer and reflection upon the situation of the poor and subsequent action, we can't just stop at praying. There has to be action. This will draw us closer to them, helping us to understand the mystery of radical dependence upon God. Ultimately, our closeness with the poor will make us more Christ-like. And isn't that our goal? Isn't why we mouth those words from Psalm 34, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Friends, it's been a pleasure being with you here this morning on this July day for this spiritual outreach call. Let's close as we began in prayer. And so we pray. God of justice, open our eyes to see you in the face of the poor. Open our ears to hear you in the cries of the exploited, the forgotten, the lonely, the marginalized. Open our mouths to defend you in the public square, as well as in our private deeds, remind us that what we do for the least, we do for you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And may Almighty God bless you and your loved ones in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.